Welcome, everyone. Today is December the 3rd. The first Sunday in the month, we celebrate Christmas. And I think most of us are moving very much into that spirit and planning for the holidays and talking with family and friends about what we're going to do and how we're going to be together. And just enjoying the spirit of this season. So I wish you many blessings as we move into this time when our hearts really like to consider the hearts of others more than ourselves. It's what he came to the world to teach us. And so today we are going to offer blessings to one another. I hope that in your prayers you will ask for blessings for those who need it, who come on our call. And I'm just about to open our community because I always like to hear from everyone. It just gives a special feeling for those who come to know what the others are needing and wanting. So who would like to be first on our call? Oh, we have someone from area code 321. Scott, is that you?
Yes, indeed.
How are you today?
So very, very good. But I do need to ask a blessing for a dear soul in my life. I was very fortunate to have a friend, Delona, who agreed to mentor me, and she did a lot of special things to make me look very smart in my community and led to a lot of privileges, and I got to facilitate leadership modules for foster kids, for example.
So, oh, great.
She's a dear, dear soul, and she transitioned on Friday. So I'd like to ask that she could be...
She's been what since Saturday?
She transitioned on Friday.
Oh, she transitioned. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Yes, of course. And, of course, we know she's having her birthday party upstairs and sending blessings to all of us.
That's what I'm after.
Yes, and I know that she will continue to do that. Dear souls like that never stop. But we also want to express our gratitude to her because certainly she deserves acknowledgement and gratitude for the life she lived.
Yeah.
So, Scott, how are you?
I'm pretty okay. I mean, in the big picture, I'm happy that she gets to go to the next part of her soul's journey, but I'll miss her. Anytime I brought something up, she could give me an action step. She was just kind of that type of person.
Yeah, I know. And you will find that she'll lead you to the next person you need to know. She's just transitioned from being your assistant on earth to being your guardian angel. So just have faith, Scott, and express your gratitude, and the love she brought you will continue to exist.
Thank you very, very much, Glenda.
I think that's what we all have to learn about the passing of our loved ones. Eventually, we will all have loved ones go before us. For me, it was my grandparents. My grandmother, I was my best friend when I was in high school. She really was. She had several strokes, and so she lived with us. And she was there for me almost 24/7. She got me through all of my high school issues, and she was my pillow to cry on. So I really, really missed her. And then after she transitioned, I found her even more because she lived in my heart. And then next after that were my parents. Next after that were my brother and sister. And now at my age, it's my classmates going on. So if we live long enough, we will lose almost everyone we knew in our childhood. And that's just the way it is, but we don't lose them. That's the great part of it. They're welcoming. They're going to be our welcoming party when we get there. So we have someone from area code 413, and hi, you're on.
Good morning, good afternoon, Glenda, and this beautiful community. This is Sarah from Santa Cruz, California.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I just want to give some gratitude for just some amazing developments in my life that I really feel have been connected to my aligning with my soul and my asking for help from Yeshua and from the angels. And I've talked about it a couple times when I called in. And so I just wanted to say, I talked about my house and how I was trying to buy the house that I'm currently renting. Yeah, and that all happened. It closed on Monday. And it just
congratulations.
Thank you so much. I feel so blessed. I really feel like I'm just been given so much opportunity and also responsibility that I'm being supported where I'm at so that I can do my work in the world. And I just feel so grateful about it. It all happened with so much ease. There was, like, behind the scenes, the realtor told me, he actually wrote this in the email, I can't believe how many miracles happened for this to happen for you. And, right, and I don't even know what they were. That's the thing. Like, I know they were just taken care of. And there's so much gratitude for that. And I had an interview at my work where I'm going to step up to a higher level of responsibility, and that went so well. So just so much gratitude for these blessings and just my testimony, my affirming that this works, to ask for help and to be willing to receive and do my work. And so much gratitude. And I wanted to just ask for a blessing for one thing, for my being able to just speak my truth in my relationships. And I just want to speak my truth with compassion and love, but also just strength, and not have to kind of hide things. So I'm asking for some support with that. And so I just ask for a blessing for that.
Okay. Yes, I think we all want a more open life, because the more we put up our defenses, the more we shut ourselves off from possibilities. And that doesn't mean that we have to declare to the world all the details that perhaps really do need to remain private. But we can be open. We can be open and accessible through our heart, through our sensitivity, through our availability. Let's put it that way. Our emotional availability that we cultivate in our heart and in our consciousness. Sometimes we just don't want to know what's going on around us, because if someone else is doing better than we are, it might injure our self-confidence. Or if they're doing worse than we are, it might make us feel guilty. And so we shut off our consciousness because we can't deal with comparative reality. But the fact is, there are no two people alike ever. Yeah. And we all go through our challenges. We all get hungry. We all need to sleep. We all need to eat. We are all so similar. We just go in different cycles at different times through different issues.
Yeah.
And making ourselves available is a point of trust.
Yeah.
And not just trust in others, but trust in ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So congratulations to you. I'm so happy to hear that. So
happy. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, sometimes coming on the call to express gratitude is just as important as coming on the call to express a need. Because that gratitude gives confidence to others. One of the most powerful things about our Christ Blessing calls every Sunday is we just simply illustrate what Yeshua taught his apostles. Knock and the door shall be opened, ask and you shall receive. But we don't have confidence to do that. We say in our mind that we do. We may get on our knees and pray with words, but there's something held back. A little bit like you were talking about, Sarah. Like, we're afraid to trust.
Yeah.
We're being heard, that we're being loved, and that door really will open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeshua said, if you have so much faith as the size of a little mustard seed, it'll work. Mm. And that's why we come together, because together we give strength. That's why we, blessing givers, accelerate the signal. That's all we're doing. It's all energy from God coming to you in a unique form just for you. And it's all between you and God. But we help to, well, turn up the volume on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or clarify the signal just a little bit. You know, like the old TV sets. Of course, most of you are younger than me. I mean, I'm getting up there with the hills. But in my youth, you know, we used to have to turn the rabbit ears on top of the TV to get rid of the snow. And I'm sure you've seen in old movies how that worked. You turn the rabbit ears around and they're, oh, there's a clear picture. Yeah, we got it. And then once you get a clear picture, at that point you can turn up the volume because it won't sound like static. Well, okay, that's what we blessing givers do, is we turn the rabbit ears around. And then we turn the volume. And then you get the picture. But the whole signal, the whole transmission is from God.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes, thank you so much. I feel called at some point to learn that study, to be part of that. So, yeah, I know there'll be a time when the divine timing where that works out. So I'd love to give my service in that way.
Oh, and that's right. There is divine timing on it. And not every moment of the day do we have a clear signal. And when we don't, you know, right now, even with cell phones, especially I can illustrate that down here on the south coast of Texas, where we really don't have a single phone company that gets a clear signal all the time.
Mm.
If I'm on a long distance, I had to get a land in order to do my blessing calls and my conference call webinars. I had to get one of the old landlines that's wired in with copper wires to make sure we'd always have a signal. Because on a cell phone, I have to walk around the property.
Oh, yep.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Right.
And you'd think that with God, that wouldn't be a problem. And it's really not a problem for God, but it's a problem for us.
Right.
Okay, that's the big deal. All right, I'm going to take another call. I see that Ken is on. Hi, Ken.
Yes, Glenda. This is Ken. I'm also in Northern California. And I've kind of had a question in my mind that has been around for quite a while, and I figured this is better time now just to come on up and ask it.
Okay.
It kind of concerns the different perspectives given on Christianity and God and the Bible that, you know, and Yeshua that come from the Bible, that come from like metaphysics, and come from all the different things that I feel are coming from what I would call divine inspiration inside of me. And so much of the time, you know, I feel kind of drawn to the etheric kind of non-God-oriented spirituality. And then sometimes I feel very drawn towards what I would consider to be more traditional, evangelical, biblical, scripture kind of stuff. And it kind of drives me nuts to be able to say, where the heck is the truth within all this stuff? And I just wondered if you had any perspective on that.
It drives me nuts all the time. But the thing is, the greatest truth we have comes when we seek unity. And the greatest unity comes from variety that is connected. And so as we strive to find the connections that exist within variety, we actually find that truth in an open, free, intangible space. The worst killer of truth I have ever found, Ken, is conformity. And it doesn't matter whether it's New Age conformity or evangelical conformity or Jewish conformity or Muslim conformity or Catholic conformity. That's where the problems come in. The minute we get into the deep conformity, what we have done is we've taken that free and open energy from God, and we have tuned it in to only one type of cell phone, one type of receiving instrument, and then we think that receiving instrument is the definition of God. And the reason we have so many disagreements in all of this is that these periods of conformity so often have lasted for hundreds of years. Right now, I think we're in a very nice time where there is conformity in so many venues, but it doesn't blanket the whole field, and not much of it lasts for very long. Even people, I noticed when I first went out to the, when I first finished The Lamb and the Lion, I asked Yeshua, what am I supposed to do with this? I know you didn't have me paint this to hang on my living room wall. So what comes next? And he said, give it to my people. And I thought, okay, you might just as well have said, part the Dead Sea waters, please.
How the heck am I going to do that?
Yeah, and it gets back to your question. Which group? Who's likely to throw tomatoes at me? Who's going to throw rotten eggs at me? Who's going to hug me, if anyone will? And who's going to find objection points and throw questions at me that I simply can't answer? And then who's going to sign a petition to get me put away? And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. But you know what, Ken? Here was the most amazing thing, is between the time it was finished and early April, we were getting close to Palm Sunday, and I thought, well, this would be a great time to take it to a church, but which one? So I thought about the largest congregation in Fort Worth, and I was living in Fort Worth at that time. It had about 5,000 people member. It had a temple downtown, a huge temple, and I thought, there's bound to be a lot of variety in that church, even though it was evangelical. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go and talk to the pastor. I'm going to show him a picture of the painting and say, don't you think it would be really nice to have this in a church on Palm Sunday? Oh, he was blown away that I thought of him, that I thought of their church. Mm-hmm. And he said, how big is it? I told him, you know, framed and everything, it's 5 feet square. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, bring it over. We're going to find a place to hang it. And so he had his carpenters come in, and we located a place and extended wires on the back wall of the cathedral. And we hung, this was just a few days before Palm Sunday, and I trusted them to be careful with the painting, so I just left it. I trusted Yeshua to take care of it too, of course. And He said, now you'll be back on Sunday, right? And I said, oh, yes, of course. And he said, do you mind if I introduce you as the artist of the painting and call attention to it? And I said, no, not at all. And so he said, will you be sure and sit on the front row? And I said, okay. I was going to be a little shy about it, but I walked in on Sunday, Palm Sunday, went to the front of the room, which had a rope across three seats for me and my family, and a sign on it reserved. I sat down. I looked up at toward the altar and the stage. There was a stage where there was a choir and an orchestra. I mean, we're talking big time here. And right in the middle of it, on an enormous easel, was my painting on the front. Mm-hmm. They had constructed a way to display it, and I thought, oh my God, it looks gorgeous. And then I opened the Sunday bulletin, and the opening introduction before the sermon was a 15-minute presentation by Glenda Green, artist of the painting. I just about melted into my chair with no preparation, but in retrospect, I'm so glad I had no way to prepare for it. I would have run for the hills. But I went up there and I just told my story. And when it was over, people were lined up to hug me, to thank me, to look at the painting. The procession line afterwards took an hour, and nobody had anything but gratitude. And that's the way it was from then on. Through all the denominations, from, I was called behind the altar of Catholic churches, and that's a no-no. That's a no-no. If you are not an ordained priest or a consecrated bishop, you don't go behind the altar, or at least a deacon, you don't go behind the altar. You just simply don't. Well, I was called behind the altar to stand by that painting to tell my story. And I was called into large New Age congregations. I was asked to give a presentation to Cowboys for Christ, for heaven's sake, at the Fort Worth Coliseum, where there were over 5,000 people from all over the world riding horseback. And the painting was in the middle of it. So, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Long story made short, is that he's the unity in it all. And he came to bring unity to the earth. And he doesn't care about all the varieties. He really doesn't care. He doesn't care if you don't go to church at all. And he doesn't care if you just see God as an abstraction, because it was his job to create God as a personification so that we could have a real human connection with God. And it's okay if you see God as an abstraction. Because really, the creator of this universe, think about it for a moment, has to be bigger than the universe. And what we do for one another is to love one another. We give each other a direct experience of human compassion and charity. And that's it.
Yeah. It's not in the words. It's just in the heart and the soul and the experience.
That's it. It is. So there is no direct answer, Ben, but I hope what I said helps you.
No, it's tremendous. It's tremendous. It is the unifying thing. It's finding the unity. That's really what it is.
It is. You just find that unity point within yourself, and you're at the heart. You find the unity point within the world, you're at the heart of the world.
Yeah.
And really, look at the greatest people who've ever lived. They were unity points
mm-hmm.
within humanity. They were. Those are the greatest people who ever lived, were unity points. Look at Gandhi. He didn't like what the British were doing to India, but he didn't fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, after he made the point that he came to make, India could work in a more capitalistic, free enterprise way with Great Britain. That was a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Look at what Mother Teresa did. She came up against the whole Catholic Church that didn't like what she wanted to do. But finally, the bishops tolerated her. Finally, the Pope tolerated her and saw that this woman was nothing but a unity point. And then he let the world revolve around her for the things she was trying to create. What has the Dalai Lama done? Same thing. He was run out of China. His people killed. But he still keeps holding unity for the whole world.
That makes it pretty simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. What did Martin Luther King do? Well, at first he looked like he was taking a militant approach on behalf of the black people in America, but not really. He just took a stand. And then he took a stand and he held it until that stand became a unity point that changed the entire way we all get along in America. You see, that's what it's all about. Sometimes it starts with a little bit of opposition, just like it did with Gandhi. And then he resolved it into his extended hunger strike that almost took his life. But his endurance made a point that the world listened to. You see?
Yeah.
We're looking for these unity points. And sometimes they do start with conflicts that have to be addressed firmly. Okay? And we say, no more. I'm not going to fight with you. Because fighting will never get us where we need to be, where we want to be. And it's okay if we're different. In fact, it's great that we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to learn.
Yeah, someone was saying that it's okay to be angry and frustrated so long as you have a purpose with it and you make it constructive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
There's
the point.
Wrong.
And sometimes anger is the appropriate emotion. As long as it is appropriate, as long as it's directed toward a constructive end, and you're in control of it.
Yeah.
That's the point. Okay, well, Ken, you guys have given me a great opportunity to just make a presentation to the world without ever having to think about it. I'm going to take another quick call in case someone wants to ask for a blessing, okay? A caller from 780, is there a blessing you'd like to ask for?
Yeah, you read my mind. How are you doing, Glenda, Desmond? I have a blessing request for Anastasia.
Okay.
She, for the last 2 years, has been in complete dormancy and hibernation and floating over different countries and trying to raise the consciousness of people's connection with nature. So she hasn't even been in her body for a couple of years. And she hopefully she'll like smarten up and decide to go back into her body in springtime, and maybe she can enjoy living in her space of love, right?
Yes. Okay. Blessings for her. And yes, I'm
Thank
sure
you.
She will be here with us. Thank you, Desmond. And Tony, do you have a blessing to ask for? Tony, you're on. Tony, did you go away? Okay. All right. Well, than it is now, 3:35. So we do need to get, we need to move on to our blessing, because we have a lot of people around the world that just tune in to us through their heart or telepathically, and they're sitting there receiving. So we want to honor that and be here for them. So everyone, just relax in your seat. Have your shoes off. And socks that are only cotton, silk, or wool, or no socks at all, so that you can transmit energy from the earth. Have your head uncovered unless your religion requires it, and even then, at least make sure it's not a synthetic fabric, okay? So that it's part of the energy of the earth transmitting energy from heaven. So allow yourself to be comfortable, your body parts uncrossed, and your heart open, and your emotions available. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and be here with us all in prayer as we invite the presence of Christ to be with us for the benefit of all mankind, for the blessing of this earth, for the plants and the waters and the trees and our beloved animals, that all may receive the fullness and the love and the grace of God. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for loving us, for being with us always. We thank you for showing us the miraculous world we live in, even though we have to respect the logics of it as well, simply because it was from the basic logos of creation that everything emerged. Still, by the grace of God and the love of God, anything is possible at all times with anyone. And most especially, forgiveness for anything. Forgiveness for everything. Forgiveness for everyone, that we may be made new in this moment. For only in this moment, now. And I don't mean just this moment at 3:40 Central Time. I don't mean this moment. I mean whatever this moment is, in the presence of now, only can forgiveness be given, can miracles be brought about, can changes occur. Be with us now, and let all things be possible. We love you, and we accept your love of us unconditionally. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete now, except that you need to go and rest so that you can receive it. God bless you all, and know that you are very loved. We'll see you again next week. So bye-bye for now.